With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On today's show, I'm going to do another part in the series I've done on the Lost West Memphis 3 files. I'm going to cover some of the old documentation and some of the old police procedural events that surrounded the events of the West Memphis 3, and some of the characters you'll, if you're familiar with the case, you'll recognize the names. John Mark Byers, he was in the documentaries. The murders took place, was it June 5th, 1993. They're all three were convicted in 1994. But there were some interesting things happening in West Memphis around that time, and some are concerned the validity of the West Memphis PD. There was a forfeiture case. There was supposedly money that was leaked and items missing in, I think, 93. There was also a case of stolen watches John Mark Byers was involved with, about $11,000 of two Rolex watches that disappeared or were fenced, I think, about a month before the murders. And also there was just kind of some other cases going on. But one of the biggest ones is that John Mark Byers was investigated. His wife, when his wife died, she was, he was investigated as a, it was investigated as a possible homicide. So there's a lot of information surrounding that. John Mark Byers died in 2020 in a car crash. He was 62. So he's kind of a recent passing away. Also, Dennis Reardon, the attorney for Damien Eccles, the appellate attorney, died last year. He was, I think, 72. But the wife of John Mark Byers was Melissa Byers, and you'll see her in some of these documentaries. If you go back and look at the Paradise Lost, at least one documentary, you'll see her in it. So it's just an interesting side case. This is really kind of adding to the understanding of the West Memphis 3 and kind of case, side cases and the people who are involved. So it's probably much more interesting if you're familiar or followed the West Memphis 3 case. So I'm going to read from some of the crime scene investigation materials. And her death, I think, was on March 31st, 1996. But it was kind of an open case. It went on for, I mean, the investigation went on for a year. And then they just didn't have enough information to start a court proceeding or arrest John Mark Byers. So it's kind of up in the air. But he, in my opinion, it was very suspicious, his activities and her death during the day. He was around with her and they were drinking. I guess she was a pill user. And also an IV needle user, something that I found out. But he said that he was with her and they fell asleep on the bed. And when he woke up, she didn't wake up. So that's his story. And you'll see that in this. So I'll read some of these cases. And I hope you find this kind of interest. For me, it's just another element of this West Memphis 3 case that kind of fills out some of the characters. And some of the names, Sudbury. If you've read even my book or Devil's Knot, you'll see that name pop up as one of the members of the West Memphis PD. But here's a crime scene search. It says, the crime scene search was conducted on March 29th, 1990. 1976, beginning at 9:40 a.m. on the buyer's residence, located at 75 Skyline Drive, Cherokee Village, Arkansas. This search was conducted pursuant to a signed consent to search, which was signed by John Mark Byers at 6:55 p.m. on March 29th, 1996. This search was conducted by Huddleston, Walker, and Wazer. Other personnel present at the scene were Slayton, Mark Beasley remained outside the residence on the carport area. Byers was allowed to enter the residence at 10:40 p.m. to answer a telephone call. Completed. The crime scene residence is located in the northwest corner of Skyline and Choctaw Drive. The residence is described as a single-story wood frame residence sitting in an easterly direction with a carport located on the south end. The main entryway of the residence has a wooden door. There's no sign of forced entry to the door. And let's see. The master bedroom is located on the northeast portion of the residence. Upon entering this area, the bed is located to the immediately left. The photographs obtained by Huddleston and the crime scene diagram prepared by Walker will better depict the description of the residence, this residence, and location of the evidence items seized. So there was a bath towel seized, blue long sleeve pullover, 7 different types of prescription medication prescribed for Melissa Byers located on the dresser, which was positioned against the south wall of the bedroom area. A list of the medication is as follows: alprazolam, lithium, Paxil, lithinate, desiryl, Paxil, and Midol over-the-counter medication. Suspected marijuana and other paraphernalia located in the closet of the master bedroom. 1 clear glass, contents of milk, alcoholic beverage, peach schnapps, and there was a videotape of the crime scene. So it was treated as a crime scene. It's pretty remarkable. So that search went through. The body of Melissa Byers was lying in a hospital stretcher, which was the same one used. She was totally nude, lying on her back, and had been covered with a hospital blanket. A visual observation of Byers' body revealed IV puncture marks on the top of her right and left foot, on the inside of her right wrist, and on upper right thoracic area. The right thoracic puncture mark and the right wrist puncture mark were both covered by Band-Aids. The puncture marks on the top of her right and left foot were not covered. Medical ID straps had been placed on the right ankle and both wrists of the victim. On the left hand of the victim, 2 rings were present on the left ring finger, as well as 1 earring. Fingers and toenails painted red. There was no visible bruising noted on the body, but a surgical scar is noted beginning approximately 2 inches below the navel. Observation of the victim's fingernails appears to be normal, and the area of the victim did not reveal any signs of recent trauma. The white sheet from the victim was lying on was blood-stained and stained from other bodily fluids, which occurred during the medical procedure.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blue pair of blue sweatpants. The investigators obtained photographs of the victim's body, which will better depict her condition at the time this investigator conducted the search. So they took tons of pictures of her body at the time and the IV mark, so they knew all that, which is kind of interesting. This is also at the hospital. Says victim's husband, John Mark Byers, was at the hospital and had been communicating with Deputy Wazer in regards to the circumstances of Melissa's death. Wazer obtained a handwritten statement from Byers and forwarded a copy of this to investigator. Byers was later transported back to his residence by a neighbor, Norm Metz, and Melissa Byers' body was moved to the recovery room at the Eastern Ozarks Regional Hospital. A crime search of Byers' body was conducted by this investigator at the hospital. While at the hospital, John Mark Byers signed a consent to search provided by Deputy Fred Wazer, allowing officers to search his residence. So that was the consent. So he consented to a search. And there's interviews of witnesses. Norm Metz was there and his next-door neighbor. Metz advised that on March 29, 1996, he left his home around 7 a.m., ate breakfast, ran other errands. Got home around 9:45. The buyer's vehicle was not home. Metz advised that he was home the remainder of the day, sharpening chainsaws and cutting wood until approximately 4 p.m. Metz advised that a little after 5, John Mark Byers called him and advised him that he could not wake up Melissa and asked him to cover over to see if she had a pulse. He asked him why he didn't call the ambulance. He said, well, come over, come through the kitchen door. Metz advised that he went to the Byers residence and went inside through the door leading from the carport and saw the Byers son, Brian Clark, and his girlfriend nude on the couch. He advised he went immediately to the bedroom and saw that Melissa was totally naked, lying on the far side of the bed on her back. He advised her mouth was wide open, her eyes were closed. She was totally limp, and her arms were down by her side. Metz advised he check for a pulse, lifted her eyelid, and looked at her eyes. He advised that he told John Mark to do CPR on her, and he started it. He advised that she gurgled up some fluids, and he told Mark he was going to call EMS. Metz advised he couldn't use the buyer's phone because he didn't have his glasses, so he went back to his house and called. He advised that when he returned to the buyer's residence, Ryan was trying to help John Mark put some pants on Melissa, and he asked John Mark if Melissa was dead. He advised that John Mark advised no, and Ryan had a funny, eerie look on his face. He advised he went and got a towel and told Mark to keep doing CPR and also told Ryan to take his girlfriend home and get back there. Metz advised that he called John Mark Byers Mark. Metz advised that Mark was not totally hysterical, but he was worried and concerned. He advised when the EMTs got to the residence, Mark kept telling them, they've got to bring her back. Metz advised that Ryan went mumbling something and he did not seem coherent. He advised when he left, he almost flipped the car over. He left so fast, spinning gravel. He advised when the EMTs got to the residence, Melissa was still in the bed and they put her on the floor. Metz advised that he traveled to the Eastern Ozarks Regional Hospital and met with John Mark Byers. He advised that at the hospital, Mark told him he was afraid Melissa had overdosed on a drug that is in the streets in Memphis. Metz advised that Byers told him it could be bought for $50 on the street. He told him the name of the drug. He could not remember it, but thought it started with the letter D. Metz advised that John Mark Byers also told him he thought her death was a drug overdose and that they were going to accuse him of smothering her. He advised that Byers did not clarify who they were. He advised that he did not kill her and that he loved her. He advised that Byers also made some other off-the-wall comments that he could not remember. Metz advised that Melissa Byers came to his house yesterday, March 28, 1996, and advised him that she was worried about her upcoming trial. He advised that she made the comment that she was afraid that Brenda Atwood was going to get her house. He advised that, to the best of his knowledge, Ryan returned to Cherokee Village to live with John Mark and Melissa approximately 2 weeks ago. He advised that since that occurred, he had seen an attitude change in Melissa. She seemed to be irritated and had a bad attitude. Metz had no further information to offer. Then this is another one. This is another person said that John Mark Byers had a girlfriend at the time. Mark's girlfriend's name is Mandy. Indicated a source contacted her and said that Mark and Mandy were hiding drugs in the trunk of Mark's car or behind their house. Indicated the drugs that were being hid were marijuana. She also said that she believes Melissa had been taking Dilaudids and Xanax. Melissa is believed to have a prescription for Xanax. She believes there is marijuana in the house. She further stated that Mark and Mandy have been seeing one another for some time, and Mark recently moved back in with Melissa.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
She continued that she knew the Byers family since all the family lived in the West Memphis area and was aware of all the situations concerning the death of the Byers boy and the conviction of the three young men on that charge. And then there's a confidential informant. This informant advised this investigator they received information that James told someone that he knew John Mark Byers killed his wife, that he gave his wife pills all day long and alcohol. The informant advised that so-and-so, that James alluded to the fact that Byers killed Melissa and he was there the day she died. The informant also advised that apparently James has talked to some reporters and has given a signed affidavit to this effect, which is going to be used in some type of documentary. The informant also advised that James is in the penitentiary with Jason Baldwin, who was first person convicted in the death of the three West Memphis children, and that James told Baldwin all of this information. And investigator notes from September. There was information that the investigator, the case was currently in the trace evidence section where tests were being performed for arsenic or other type poisoning. They could not advise the test completion date, but advised that as soon as the tests were completed, they would forward the complete autopsy report to this investigator. They did all the tests. To this date, investigator received a copy of the medical examiner's autopsy report concerning the victim, Melissa Byers. The medical examiner's office has ruled that Byers' death as an undetermined cause and undetermined manner. A copy of the autopsy report will be forwarded to Little Rock and become a permanent part of the case file. Wow. So very strange. And there's like a note about her death. She was 40. She did not look great, in my opinion, for her age. And investigator summary, husband reports that he had intimate relations with his wife around 2 p.m. today, March 29, 1996. Afterwards, they fell asleep. The husband woke around 5 p.m. and discovered his wife unresponsive. He then called the ambulance service. And it's just a bunch of kind of check marks and stuff. Reporters check marks. Suspect AIDS risk, yes. History of drug abuse, yes. Prescription drugs located, yes. So there's a lot. And Byers was taken into questioning the same day from 9:40 to 11:45. And they did a number on him. He was in being interrogated by like 10 different people. Seems like a bunch of different officers talking to him. I guess they didn't get anything from inventory of evidence. Let's see, bath towel, hand towel, sleeve shirt, glass contents, suspected marijuana and paraphernalia. So they took evidence from it. Incident report. This is the day after from a cop. On Saturday, approximately 7, I traveled to the John Marks Byers residence, reference copies of evidence seized and permission to search. He stated he needed to talk to me. I told him I had time to listen to anything he wanted to tell me. He then asked me to come into his living room and sit down. John Marks said he had talked to his brother-in-law, Dennis DeFeer, who is a policeman in Greenville, Mississippi. John Marks said Dennis and his father-in-law had brought Ryan Clark, John Marks' stepson, back from Memphis today. And that was where Ryan went last night when he left his home on Skyline. Dennis advised John Mark to tell the police in Sharp County about Melissa's recurring drug problem and wanted to tell me about it. John Mark stated Melissa's drug of preference was Dilaudid over the course of their 8-year marriage. He said that he had taken Melissa on several occasions to Greenleaf and to rehab at West Plains, Missouri, but he could not watch her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He continued that there had been problems in the marriage and that Melissa left him and went to stay with her mother and father in Memphis and returned home 2 or 3 weeks ago when Ryan, her son, had returned. He felt Melissa may have brought some Dilaudid back with her from Memphis. He didn't know for sure. I advised John Mark that the autopsy would tell if he had any drugs in his system. I then asked to speak with Ryan. John Mark told me Ryan was out with friends and to stay out. So that was it. That's just investigative notes. After concluding the interview about Ryan's actions at the buyer's house, I asked Ryan where his mother's purse was, and he stated it was in Memphis at his grandfather's. He stated it was on the backseat of the family car, and he did not see it until he arrived at the grandfather's. He also stated he and his grandfather looked through the purse, but they did not take anything from it.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is just more reports talking to people in that area.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
John Mark signed papers for the ambulance and hospital and was asking Dr. Kaufman if he wanted to have an autopsy on Melissa at his request. John Mark said he didn't know what to do. Then he turned to me and asked me for advice. I told him it's very unusual for a 40-year-old woman to pass away, as his wife had just done. And if it would have been a family member of mine, I would want to know what happened to cause the death. I then told him, with everything considered that's happened in his family and the press he received in the last 3 years, it would benefit him if he requested an autopsy. John Mark agreed with that, what I told him, and he signed the request for an autopsy on Melissa. After signing the request, he apparently passed out and fell towards the counter. I grabbed his arm and shoulder and guided his body to the floor. The hospital staff came to his aid, and I excused myself to the visitor's room, where Sheriff Powell, Chief Deputy Kevin Burton, and ASP investigator Stan Witt were waiting. After a short discussion, I decided that I'd see if Mark would sign a permission for search. I told John Mark allowing us to do a search of his home would allow us to prove or disprove any foul play concerning Melissa's death coupled with the autopsy. I told him the sheriff's office would conduct the search by bringing this amount of people at one time and would cut the investigative time from 12 to 3 hours. He said he understood, thanked me, and asked if he could go outside and smoke. As I was escorting him outside, we met his neighbor, Norm Metz. Officer told me John Mark was concerned with the whereabouts of his stepson, Ryan, because he had told him to take his girlfriend, Amanda, home and come right back. I walked down to see where John Mark was sitting with a white female known to me as Mandy. I told John Mark we were about to search, and I would tell him when he could come into his house. I asked why Mandy was there and was told she is a friend of the family. Phone calls, people showing up during the search, the house search. But there's a lot of information. Like, they really tried to get as much information out of it again. And in these papers, it's an unexplained death. That's the way they described it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A lot of people saying stuff. Crime scene search. So, that's another one. Yeah, but there's a lot of kind of curious stuff with this whole thing. And these people, or paperwork. But they definitely were looking at it like something was going on, you know. Talking to the family members, knowing that's the next door neighbor. There was a submission. This was September, came back. Kidney examination of the kidney revealed no significant levels of arsenic, lead, mercury, or any other heavy metals to be present. That was from the criminalist Pulaski. They took like all kinds of architectural or kind of landscape drawings of everything. This is the witness. This is actually the year after. James was interviewed on Tuesday, November 25th, 1997, at the Department of Corrections of Varner Unit in a conference room. He may have information concerning the death of Melissa Byers. I asked James if he would write me a statement reference on an affidavit. It's a suspect in the murder. I had met Ryan Byers at Highland High School. I was talking with him on a few occasions, and I learned his little brother was one of the little boys killed in the West Memphis murders. After we had gotten pretty tight with Ryan, he told me on several occasions that his stepfather, Mark, had been in on the killing, the three little boys in West Memphis, his stepson being one of them. I always noticed that Ryan was always friendly and jumpsy around me. After I had known them for a while, Mark's wife was killed. It was a drug overdose. It was called a drug overdose. But I can remember Mark giving her pills and other drugs on more than one occasion. I felt it was not any type of overdose. I felt Mark forced her to take all the drugs to intentionally kill his wife, just for the simple facts that I know Mark. Signed, James. I asked James the following questions. Have you ever seen Mark Byers give Melissa Byers illegal drugs? Answer, yes. What kind? Answer, pills, unknown, but I've took all kinds of pills with them. Valium, Xanax, Dilaudid, and Talwin pills. Question, have you ever seen Mark Byers force Melissa Byers to take any type of pills? Answer, no. Question, why would he want to kill her? Answer, I don't know. Question, how do you know what she died of? A, I heard what the police said. Question 6, can you really say he killed her? No, I cannot, but I believe he did in my mind. Question 7, how long had it been since you saw Melissa Byers before she died? I cannot put a date on it. Maybe a few days or a few weeks. It was like 1 year later. He took a statement of the son, statement of John Mark Byers. As went to sleep at 2:30, approximately 3:20. Byers' son Ryan knocked on their bedroom door to let them know he was home from school. Melissa asked John if that was Ryan knocking on the door. John says yes, he thinks. He then fell back to sleep. He woke again, went to the kitchen for a glass of milk, and returned to Melissa laying on the bed. He asked her if she wanted something to drink. He didn't respond. She didn't respond. John then sat at the right side of the bed. He then laid down, touched her, and she didn't feel right. John then shook her and went and got a wet wash rag and wiped her face. He then felt for a pulse, and he could not find one. After a short time, Melissa threw up some liquid. John then called his neighbor. Kind of strange. This is another one, just another criminal investigation files. It's just a lot of stuff in here, but eventually they just kind of gave up, put it in undetermined. So they never were able to obtain any conclusive evidence that this is what really happened. This is September 1996 or October. This investigator received the medical examiner's autopsy report, which listed as undetermined. At this time, there was insufficient evidence to charge any suspect in this crime. Therefore, this investigator requested this case be transferred to inactive status. If any new leads are developed, this case will be reactivated. So they looked into it for, you know, a good 6 months, it seems like. This is Jake. Jake advised that he was at the Byers residence on March 29th, 1996, prior to Melissa Byers' death. He advised he arrived at their residence on Skyline Drive at approximately 1 p.m. and partied with them, drinking Crown Royal and taking Valium, Xanax, and that he saw Mark Byers with a sandwich baggie of K4 delouded. Jake advised he left the residence around 3. He advised the persons present at the time he was there were Mark Byers, Ryan Clark, Ryan's girlfriend, and Melissa Byers. Jake advised he was not in school that day because he had been kicked out of school permanently in March of 1996 for drugs. He advised he was going back to the Byers residence later on in the day. But when he got near their residence, he saw all the police and left. Jake advised he doesn't know whether or not Mark Byers had anything to do with Melissa's death, but everyone seemed to be happy and jolly during their partying time. And this is Mandy. Mandy advised that she was at the residence of John Mark Byers after Melissa Byers was discovered dead on March 29th, 1996. She advised that while all the police personnel were present at the residence, she and John Mark Byers stood out in the yard, thinking. She advised that during the conversation, Byers told her that he had 3 syringes in the bottom drawer of the chef robe dresser in their bedroom that he'd hoped the police didn't find. She advised that Byers did not tell her whether or not the syringes had anything in them, and that police did not find the syringes, and later on that night, Byers threw them away. She advised he put the syringes in a coffee can and put a lid on the can and placed them in the trash, which was picked up on the following Tuesday. Mandy advised that she lived with Byers from July of 1996 until August 1996 at his house on Skyline Drive. She advised that while she lived with Byers, he threatened her life if she ever told anyone about the syringes, and after she quit living with him, she didn't come forth with this information out of fear of being prosecuted for withholding it. Beasley advised that she doesn't know if the syringes had any bearing on the death of Melissa Byers. She had no reason to believe that Mark killed her, or if he was just telling her this to make her think he killed her. She advised that while she lived with Byers, she discovered that he was nothing but a pathological liar. Mandy advised that Byers was currently living at Jonesboro. Mandy also advised that during the time she was living with Byers, he told her that he burned Brenda Atwood's trailer in Cherokee Village. She advised that Byers told her to put gasoline all around the trailer and made a gasoline trail to the road and started it by using a cigarette as a fuse. She advised he told her a cigarette made an excellent fuse, that you could light it, and due to slow burning, it would give you time to get away. She advised that Byers told her that Melissa had knowledge of this, and she's dead now, and dead people can't talk. She advised Byers also told her that he, Melissa, and their son, Ryan Clark, committed the residential burglary at Atwood's residence. So, interesting statements. This consensus searches. So just kind of this really just kind of historical background of the type of people these were. And eventually, I think Byers would change his story. He would do crazy things for the documentary. These guys were supposedly getting paid for the documentary. So, a bunch of strange happenings there. So I thought I'd just read these into the record just so people could know. But he was under suspicion of the unexplained death of his wife, Melissa. And after reading through those documents, that's right, it was suspicious. So I guess that's a takeaway. Thanks for listening.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.